Hello guys, welcome to or welcome back to Reforming Our Faith. For those watching on YouTube right now, y'all see we got a little guest, my pink kitten Squishmallow. Her name is Laura, in case y'all were wondering. If y'all are not watching this on YouTube, this is very embarrassing. Just ignore this, ignore I said anything. Anyhow, I'm excited for today's episode. I touched on this maybe a month or two ago with some friends on like a little FaceTime Bible study, and it really made me think. And we went really deep into this topic, and I loved it so much that I wanted to bring it on the podcast. But let's get right into this. So I do have some questions written down, and at first I wasn't gonna, you know, I don't know, like mention them. But you know, reading them again made me realize that these are good questions that we could all kind of think about and break down and ask ourselves, honestly, constantly, because we're constantly growing in our walk with God. So I feel like, you know, however God wants you to, I don't know, go about these questions, whether you want to write them down or just think about them throughout the week or even ask yourself as we go, you know, whatever you feel led to do. But I'm going to ask them. So let's start with the very first question. What are some lies that the enemy has told you about your identity? Now, this is a deep and loaded question. And I know, I don't know, for me, when we were talking about this question, it made me think about when I was a child, how before I knew Christ, I struggled with, and I've talked about this maybe in two of my episodes, definitely one of them, but I feel like probably two of them, where when I was a kid, I struggled with mental health very, very early. So by the time I was in middle school, I didn't like being alone with my thoughts. I didn't like me, and I felt like nobody else would like me. And I felt so unaccepted by just like, I guess myself, that I felt like, yeah, nobody's gonna accept me for who I am. So I just got to become a copy and paste version of whoever I am around. So whoever was around me telling me their interests, what they liked, what they didn't like, I would just, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Again, I know literal no sense of identity at all. And it broke my heart, like thinking about little Genesis being that way. Because now, as you know, I've been born again, I'm so unapologetically me because I found my identity in Christ. And honestly, my whole personality is Jesus and I love it. Like, I don't care. So it's crazy because that's not something that I was familiar with my whole life. And when I really, you know, had to sit on that question, like, what are some lies the enemy has told me about my identity? I think back to like my youth. Like, he lied to me about my identity since I was a child. And it made me realize that there's people that take that into adulthood. Like, if I wouldn't have found Christ, if I wouldn't have, you know, actually, no, scratch that. If Jesus wouldn't have found me, I probably would still be that way. I would be the biggest people pleaser. Whoever I was around, I would be just like them because I felt like that was the only way that I was accepted by absolutely anyone. And I want to combat whatever lies you feel like, you know, the enemy is telling you. I know for me personally, there's times where, you know, I love posting on social media. I love posting about my faith, where I will feel like I can't do that because, you know, I am stumbling or I feel unfit or I feel like, you know, again, my voice doesn't matter. And I fail to realize that it's not about me. It's never been about me. It's always been about Jesus and what he did and spreading the good news. And I feel like we forget that sometimes. So I want to combat whatever, you know, the lies that the enemy has been telling you or has told you with scripture. Because, you know, I always say this, you know, what I say does not really matter. What the Bible says is what matters. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, I think this is such a crazy thing to really grasp and wrap your head around. Like, we are made in God's perfect image, and we're his workmanship. And not only that, the Bible says that we are knit, like he knits us in our mother's womb, and that he knows he knows everything about us down to the amount of hairs that we have on our head. And to really think about that the God that created everything, the stars, the ocean, the sun, the moon, created us and took his time on us and created us in his image. That is just so incredible to me. And like I said this over and over and over again in my last episode, God is so intentional that it blows my mind almost every time. Like, anytime that I feel so, I guess, disgusting and gross and ugh, I just think to myself, oh my gosh, the God that created the stars and the moon created me too. And above all, I am a child of God, made in God's image. So when the enemy wants to make me feel dirty and nasty and ugly and da-da-da-da-da, I take a step back and I'm like, oh my gosh, God is so good. God is so good that he has had these, you know, like Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, he has these good works prepared beforehand. So before I even knew Jesus, when I was a little kid and the enemy was telling me, nobody's going to accept you, nobody's going to love you, you know, X, Y, and Z, God had already had these amazing and beautiful things set for me, right? But here's the thing. We can't step into those things until we're made new in Christ, until we're made anew in Christ. So God has these beautiful, amazing things planned for us, but until we, you know, accept him as our Lord and Savior and really understand in whose image we are made, it's not until then, it's not until we really, I guess, grasp that fact of like, I don't know, like I'm made in God's perfect image. I am made to serve him. I am made to follow him. I'm made to follow the manual. I mean, I think the Bible is a manual to life, and how to live life. So it's not until that moment that, at least me personally, like really, it's not until I knew Christ that I knew who I really was. I feel like that's the best way I could put it. Like before Christ, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was made for. And then coming to Christ, I was like, oh no, I'm made to serve you. I'm made to follow you. I'm made to live my life according to the word and just live that out. And I have found so much peace. It was just so funny because people will tell you like, you know, Christianity is so restricting and, you know, like, you know, and you know, although that's true in the sense that, you know, the path is narrow, you know, but as you walk with the Lord and you walk alongside Jesus, it's this thing where it's like, yeah, I can't go out and smoke weed and you know, go get drunk and sleep around. As you get closer to Jesus, you're like, I don't even want to do those things. Why would I want to do those things? So it's not even as restricting as people kind of make it seem, because you, as you get closer to God and you realize, again, I'm made in his image, and he's doing this because he loves me. He tells me not to do these things because he loves me. He tells me not to sleep around because, for example, like this is a topic that I love because, you know, hookup culture is so normalized and glorified and romanticized in today's age. And so many people find their identity in being hyper, I think that's the word, hypersexual, sleeping around, doing X, Y, and Z. And I don't say this to condemn those people, but I say this to say like a lot of people find their identity in that. A lot of people flaunt that. And a lot of people think that that's normal, but, you know, God made sex for man and woman, husband and wife. He has made that because that is the most intimate that you could get with somebody. And you're giving this person this piece of you, and to give it to just anybody, like, God tells us to save ourselves for marriage because he's protecting us, because he loves us, because he doesn't want to see us hurt. And people don't see it like that. People think it's just restricting. Same thing with getting, you know, drunk. People think that, like, oh, God is such a killjoy because I can't get drunk. But again, he's doing that to protect you. How many people make a fool of themselves or make really bad decisions when they're drunk, or people that have lost their lives getting drunk or get addicted and ruin families, ruin marriages. And I feel like it's, I don't know. That's all to say that, yes, people, you will always hear that Christianity is restricting, but as you get closer to the Lord and you are in relation with him, you realize that it's not that it's restricting. It's that he gives us these essentially advice on how to live life because he loves us. And when you start living that out and you start to follow what it is God's word says, there's a peace in your life, and there's, and it's just filled with so much joy that you don't get in the world, because the world will never fulfill you or satisfy you the way that God's love can. And I think that, and none of this I have written down in my notes, but I don't know, just thinking on it, all these things that we do, for example, again, sleeping around, it's for the most part, you're craving intimacy, you're craving love, you're craving to be seen and heard and felt by somebody. But, you know, that's temporary. That's like a band-aid thing. And you walk out of it almost emptier. You walk out of it, you know, feeling like this person just walked away with a part of you. And it's heartbreaking, and you actually don't really feel any better. But the world and society tells you that, no, yeah, you do feel better. And it's like almost like you're gaslighting yourself. Same thing with drinking and smoking. Like, a lot of us do it to – a lot of people do it to kind of like numb whatever it is you're feeling out. For me personally, I smoke – I talked about this, I think, in one of my episodes before as well. I smoked weed for about a year and a half to 2 years of my life. And, you know, I would say, oh, like, you know – that's the thing. I found my identity in that as well, which I'll you know, touch on in a second. But, you know, yeah, I would tell myself I'm doing it for fun. I'm doing it because everybody does it and it's normal and whatever, whatever, whatever. But in reality, I was trying to run away from something, run away from a lot, actually, and drown out the noise. But that's the thing. When the high went away, the noise was still there. And that goes for alcohol. That goes for drugs. That goes for, again, anything of the world that is not of God. It's a band-aid solution. It makes you feel better for maybe, like, I don't know, 0.2 seconds, and then it makes you feel 10 times worse after. And then you have to keep doing it. And that's how addictions and patterns are formed. Sorry. I went like on that little tangent, but it needs to be said on, like, that's such a lie from the enemy that, you know, these things are going to heal you, that these things are normal, that these things are okay when they're not. They leave you more empty, and you're just making the void bigger. You're feeding the void, not filling it. The only thing that could fill that void is Jesus and his love and his grace and his mercy. And living your life according to, again, his word. Now the second question is, who are you before Christ? And that's why I want to touch on, you know, I found my identity for a long time in being a pothead. I used to pride myself in the fact that I smoked a lot and I could outsmoke anybody. And I thought that that was so cool. But now looking back at it, I'm like, girl, you low-key had a problem. No. Okay, sorry. Let me not play like that. But no, I mean, I did. I had a problem where, you know, again, that was just one of the, like, other millions of things where I felt like, oh yeah, this will make me accepted. This makes me look cool. But I was emptier than anybody, you know? And there's a lot of people that looked at my life and they're like, oh, like, you know, she's chilling, she's, you know, she's living that life and, you know, whatever. But I, deep down, I was so broken. And the more that I did what I did, the more broken I became and the more empty I felt. Before Christ, I just didn't know who I was. So it didn't matter what I did, to be honest, because who am I really? So let me do whatever I want and whatever. And that is just such a sad way to live life when you really think about it and when you really sit on it, that you live a life where, you know, before you know Christ, where, again, you don't know who you are and whose image you're made, that you just do constant hurt to yourself without a care. And sometimes you don't even know. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing hurt to yourself. Until almost it's too late. Well, it's never too late, because God is a redeemer, and he will restore you like never, like you can never imagine. But as far as like the world goes, when you're living in the world, it's like you just break yourself and break yourself and break yourself. But the world keeps telling you that you're only building yourself up, but you're not. That you're, you know, you're filling the void, but in reality, you're feeding it. Now, again, let's talk scripture. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And I thought it was such a beautiful verse, because as I was writing down these notes, you know, before I had this study with my friends, it just, I was reading, I didn't even recall this verse didn't even come to my mind, and I came across it, and I was like, wow, look at God. I was writing a message about identity, and this scripture, you know, God highlights the scripture for me. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Because here's the thing. Outside of Christ, there are only things that you identify with. Now, I had this underlined and highlighted on my notes. There's only things that you identify with. And all of those things that we identify with outside of Jesus are sins and false senses of identity. So me being like, oh, I am this pothead, you know, this is who I am, that's a false, well, one, that's a, you know, sin, because the Bible says to be sober-minded, but it's also a false sense of identity. That's not who I was. There's so much more to me. There's so much more to you than, and I say this to anybody living in the world, there's so much more to you than your sexuality. There's so much more to you than, like, your sex life. There's so much more to you than your dating life. There's so much more to you than the weed that you smoke, the drugs that you do, the parties that you go to, the clubs that you go to. There's so much more to you than that. You are made in God's perfect image. You are his workmanship. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He knows how many hairs there are on your head. Now, I know I said this in the beginning of the episode, but I want to emphasize on that. Because, again, when we do these things, when we are sleeping around, when we are doing drugs, when we are doing X, Y, and Z, when we're sinning and we're doing this hurt to our body and our mind and our spirit and our heart, in all things, what we're really looking for, what we're really craving, and what we're really desiring is love and to be accepted. And the enemy makes us think that in doing those things, that's exactly what we're doing. We're being loved, we're being accepted, but we're not. We're only pushing ourselves further from God. And it was just so, I guess, deep thinking back on that. The fact that, again, like, there was once upon a time where there was just things that I identified with. I had no identity. I only had things that I identified with, and they weren't even really who I was. They weren't me. They weren't me. They were just things that I was doing. And the reason why I really want to touch on that is because we live in a world and a society where, and, you know, again, when I was speaking on this message, I had none of this written down, except this just came up on my mind, like, in, you know, as I was speaking to the girls, like, we live in a generation where we'll find our identities in zodiac signs. Oh, I'm this way because I'm a Scorpio, or I'm this way because I'm a Cancer rising, or this and this and Saturn and da, 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 da. And we're just identifying with those things. Those are not who we are. We're not bound. Ooh, we are not bound to those things. That's not our destiny. We're not like, you know, I'm not this way because I'm a Scorpio, or you're not like that because you're a Leo. And no, you're not bound to those things. Those things, no, those things are not you. They're just something that you're identifying with. And that's not who you're, like, who you really are. That's not who you're bound to. But that's what the enemy does. He makes you think, oh, yes, this is me. I act this way because I'm an X, Y, and Z. And then all of a sudden, you're opening up these doors, and you just get farther and farther from God and your identity in Him and what He has for you and the good works that He has prepared for you beforehand since He knit you in your mother's womb. And now let's, you know, even deeper than zodiac signs, like, even your sexuality. There's people that identify with their sexuality. And again, I don't say this, and I want to preface this with this. I don't say this to hate on those people or condemn them necessarily. I empathize with them, and I love them, and my heart breaks for them, because to think that God made a mistake when He was making you, to think that, for example, you're a man trapped in a woman's body, or a woman trapped in a man's body, or that you're a they, them, that is heartbreaking. That is such a lie. God doesn't make mistakes. God would never make a mistake. Not on me, not on you, and not on anybody. So when I say this, again, I don't say this with hate and judgment in my heart. I say it with love, that my heart breaks for those people that find their identity and their sexuality. Because, you know, even the whole movement, and now that it's June, Pride Month, it's about being prideful and this and this. But, you know, pride is a devil. I want to start with that. Pride is a devil. And I'm not talking about the pride movement. I'm talking about the word pride, and to have pride. Y'all know the popular saying, pride is a devil, right? And I think it's very true, right? And so I just want to say that my heart breaks for the people that, again, find their identity in what they're sexually attracted to, and God didn't make a mistake with you. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but God doesn't make mistakes. And it's crazy to see the way that Satan has perverted things. That there's people that are so beyond lied to that they go through these crazy surgeries to change their bodies and all these things, when it's like, again, God didn't make a mistake with you. There's no reason why you need to and that's why when I see Christians being hateful towards those people, it breaks my heart as well, because I don't think that's a good representation of Jesus, because his heart breaks when he sees his children feeling like he made a mistake, that, you know, again, they're a woman trapped in a man's body, and a man trapped in a woman's body. That breaks God's heart. And it breaks mine. And it should. Anything that breaks God's heart should break ours as well. I empathize with those people, because God has made them for so much more. But Satan has lied to them so much and perverted what love is. Love is love. No. God is love. God is love. And His love changes and transforms us in such a wonderful way, and fulfills us. And that's the thing. That love that you get from the world and worldly people, it'll never be enough. And that's why I've noticed, and again, I don't say that, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. When I say this, again, I say it with love. A lot of people that in the LGBT community, they don't feel fulfilled. No matter how many people of the same sex they are with, they don't feel fulfilled. And that's because it's not God's love. It's not God's love. And again, they're so lied to. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I don't know. I'll move on from that topic. But that's just to say that look at how lied to society is, that they'll find their identity in things like zodiac signs, in the parties that they go to, in the money that they make. That's another thing. There's so many people that identify and, you know, have their identity set in and how much money they have and what car they own and what house, the biggest house that they could have, and just their money, this material thing. And that doesn't go with you when you die. When you die, you don't take your house with you. You don't take your car with you. You don't take those things with you. Your identity is not in the money that you make. It's not in the, again, the parties, the alcohol. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I didn't realize how broken, or how far gone society is until I came to Christ, because those things are so normal. And that's so crazy to me how, again, those things are normalized, romanticized, and glorified. But then you come to Christ, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you're waiting until marriage, you're walking the things that God has prepared for you, and that's not normal, that's weird, that's looked down upon. And now I understand, because the Bible does tell us that we will be hated, that we will be persecuted just as he was, but still it's crazy. Like, even as a Christian, I started taking my walk very, very seriously like a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, January of 2023. It's still mind-blowing to me how it's weird. It's looked down upon if you're waiting until marriage. But if I just gave myself to absolutely anyone, whenever, people would applaud that. Or like how women also, like, you know, the whole feminist movement, right? Like, if I want to be home and take care of my kids and raise my kids correctly, that's looked down upon to want to submit to my husband. But, you know, leaving the kids at home with nobody to raise them and them get very lost and hurt by the world, that's, again, that would be applauded. It's just crazy. That's just to talk about and shine some light on the darkness of what is the world, which us Christians know, but what a lot of people don't. It's crazy. But all right, sorry, y'all. Was on that topic for a second. The next question, how did Christ change your identity? Right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Now, I want to put emphasis on that, right? We are called to be his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors as believers. When Jesus was asked which of the commandments was most important, he answered to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. With that being said, we are called to love and represent him as best as we can, be Christ-like, and bear the fruit. So the reason why I want to dive deep into that is because us as believers, we have this responsibility of making sure that we are representing Christ in the right way to unbelievers. Because, and I say this a lot, you know, screaming to people, and that's why I was saying how, you know, like, seeing Christians, for example, with the LGBT community, you know, screaming at them, you know, you're going to hell. I hope you know that those people don't believe the God that you believe in. Therefore, that's not doing them any favors. at all. Like, no favors at all. If anything, that's making them want less to do with God. Now, I understand fearing God, but you're not going to fear a God that you don't believe in. So if you're yelling at, like, you know, we fear God, we have reverence for God because we know God. They don't. They don't. And the image of God that they have is a false one. So what we do as believers is love our neighbor. And that doesn't mean, and I think that that's the problem. Christians confuse that with, like, accepting their behavior and, like, applauding it. That's not what that means. Loving your neighbor does not mean accept every single little thing that they're doing. That's not what that means. To love your neighbor is to speak to them lovingly, advise them lovingly, pray for them, intercede for them, not yelling at them and pushing them further from God. I have people, now I want to talk about this because this happened to me recently. I had somebody that was really close to me once that, you know, when I was getting closer to God, he knew that I didn't agree with his lifestyle, but I still loved him and I still cared for him and I still prayed for him. And he respected that. He respected that. And that person reached out to me recently and they told me, like, you're glowing. And I remember that in high school, the life that you lived, and to see you, you know, live the way that you're living now, that peace and all this stuff, there's just this light in you and you're just glowing. And it was so beautiful because it was like, that's how I want to represent God in my life. I don't want to represent him or, you know, give people false representation of him and push people farther from him, make people, you know, not want a relationship with him. I want people to want a relationship with him. And the way to have that effect on people is by loving people. And again, that doesn't mean agreeing with their lifestyle. And they'll know that. That person knew very clearly that I didn't agree with the lifestyle that we were living, but that I love them. And as long as they respected me talking about Jesus, we're going to have no issues. So I still remain friends with that person. I still love that person. I still pray for that person. And to have received that message from them literally maybe, you know, a week ago, it really touched my heart in a way that it made me really emotional, because it made me realize that, you know, I'm representing God in the right way by just loving on people. And again, not lying and not sugarcoating. And I do not condone watering down the gospel and sugarcoating it. No, not at all. But I don't condone hatred and judgment and that self-righteous spirit either. There's a way to go about things. There's ways to approach non-believers. And this verse tells us, you know, keep away from worldly desires that wage soul against your very souls. Sinning, literally, living in the world is waging war against our souls. That's why when you live in the world, you don't feel peace. When you're smoking and you're sleeping around and da, 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 and you're doing all these things that don't glorify God, they wage literal war against your spirit and you feel it. The thing is, you can't discern it though. Like, I never felt peace when I was in the world, but I didn't know why. I just felt like I wasn't doing enough. Like, I just had to keep doing worldly things. But no, that's not true. And then it says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will still see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. We need to represent God correctly. We need to live properly among our neighbors. Live as Jesus lived. And I know we're not going to be Jesus, but we will bear the fruits as believers in Jesus' name. We will. Now, I literally have it on the back of my phone case, y'all. The fruits of the Spirit: kindness, goodness, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness, patience, and love. When you are ungentle to your neighbor, when you are not patient, when you are not kind, that's a misrepresentation of Jesus. And that will only make people think that you're a hypocrite, that you that the God that you believe in is a hateful, nasty God, but that's not who God is. God is love. And now God is just. God is also just. So that's why we cannot water down the gospel. That's why we can't sugarcoat it for the unbelievers. But that, again, that doesn't translate to being rude and hateful and judgmental. There's a way, y'all. There's a way. And the way is to take Jesus as an example. Jesus walked into rooms and he changed people because of the light, the love that he had to offer, the kindness, the gentleness, the patience. And he left us the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, people will see that light in you. They will see that joy, that peace that you have that they don't have in the world. And that will inspire them to know the Jesus and the God that you serve, not by forcing it down their throats. It's not going to work like that. Because you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. We could plant the seeds. We can't make them grow. That's God's job. So stop trying to play the role of God and start to produce those fruits of the Spirit. Allow that light that is within you, that is Jesus Christ, speak for itself. Let your actions speak for themselves, because actions speak louder than words. So when you walk into a room and you represent Jesus the right way with your actions, that's what's gonna move people. That's what's gonna touch the spirit of people. So actually, I want to read this verse, and I'm gonna pull it up on my phone real quick, because I have it written down here as well. Give me a second, y'all. I'm so sorry. I should have had this ready. I'm so sorry. So this is the verse about being ambassadors, right? So it's 2 Corinthians 5:11. So it says, oh my gosh, y'all. I'm so sorry. Chill, y'all. I'm so sorry. Okay. Got it. sorry, y'all. Wait, no, I don't got it. Okay, chapter 5, verse 11. Okay, sorry. We are God's ambassadors. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, and if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. My gosh, sorry. Who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling, that's when you say that word, sorry if it's not, people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Okay. Y'all know what I'm saying, though. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, that was a lot, and I read very bad, so if y'all want to read that for yourselves, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, that's where it starts. Sorry for being a horrible reader and not having the verse already ready, but we are ambassadors of Christ, and our job as followers is to reconcile people back to Jesus, right? And the way that we do that is, again, by dying to our old life, because that's what happens when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We die to that life. We are made new. We are born again. And with that, our actions will reflect that. Our actions will reflect us living for Jesus. And it is through that that people will come to also know him and be reconciled with him. Now, I'm going to end this with, what do you do when you lose your identity, right? What do you do when you don't know who you are and you're losing yourself and you know, even you feel far from God? And now I do recommend anybody who's watching this, watch the last episode that I uploaded all about relationship with Jesus, relationship with God. But honesty with God is where we start. God honors and rewards our honesty, not our ability to fake it till we make it, because God already knows exactly what it is we're feeling. Now, when I was talking about this with the girls, it really went deep, because a lot of us try to fake it till we make it with God. And we, you know, we think that we can gaslight him almost, like, oh yeah, like, I got this, I'm fine, I'm this, I'm that. But in reality, God knows you're not good. God knows that you're hurting. God knows that you're scared. But he's a gentleman. So he's waiting until you surrender those feelings to him, until you come to him and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do with these. I don't know what I'm doing. And until you do that, again, God is not going to come into a place where you don't invite him. God will not come into a place where he's not invited. Because again, he's a gentleman. Imagine that was you. Somebody didn't invite you. Somebody, you think you're going to show up? No. You think if somebody invited you somewhere, what? Hold up. If somebody didn't invite you somewhere, you're not just going to go and show up? And God is not either. He's not going to come into the places of your life until you invite him into those places. Until you invite him in the rooms and that you don't want him in. And that's the honesty of it. There's so many, you know, areas of my life, and that's what I mean when I said rooms, areas of my life where, you know, I was like, God, you could deal with that stuff over there, but this, I got this. And, you know, just leave this up to me. I got it. And I definitely did not have it. And it wasn't until I was like, Lord, I'm scared what might happen if I invite you into this area, but I know that that's not from you. I know that that's from the enemy, and I won't live slave to him and his lies anymore. So come into the rooms that I am almost too scared to, you know, invite you in. Come and transform and brighten up those rooms and cast out the darkness. And he did, but it wasn't until I invited him in. Because he's a gentleman. So be honest with God. Whatever it is you're feeling, be honest. Stop trying to lie to him, because he already knows. So you're not doing anything for... You ain't fooling nobody, but you know yourself, to be honest. So be honest with him. Our willingness to surrender. Because surrender is not just a one-time thing. It's a day-to-day choice that we make. And now I said that in my last episode as well. We need to be willing. We need to have a willing heart. Because if you're like, here, God... But you're holding on to it so tight. He gonna look at you like, girl, unless you loosen your grip. You gotta be willing. You have to have a willing heart. And if you don't, you gotta pray for it, baby. You gotta pray for a willing heart. You gotta pray for it. You gotta be willing to surrender. This is a relationship. It takes you too. You gotta pull your weight. You gotta play your part. And that is to surrender. And he got the rest. All you got to do is lay it at his feet. And a lot of times we make that a lot more simple. It is a lot more simple than we make it out to seem. And we make it a lot more complicated for ourselves. We really, really do. Now, I'm going to end this episode. See, I thought this episode was going to be longer than 20 minutes. It's been 43 minutes, girl. But I'm going to end this on stop identifying with your sin. It's hard to find your identity in Christ if you are still finding your identity or identifying yourself with your sins. So repent, speak life over yourself, and speak freedom. Now, I want to say this because, for example, for a long time, I kept saying, I have anxiety, I have anxiety, I have anxiety. I rebuked that in Jesus' name. I don't have nothing. I am set free. Now, I may struggle with anxiety, but I don't have it. I've been set free. In Jesus' name. And that's how you have to walk about those things. You know, you can't keep identifying because you're speaking death. Like, I literally heard it before, and I forgot where I heard this, but when you're saying things like that, like, I have this, you're speaking death over yourself. You're proclaiming it over yourself. The power of the tongue is so real. That's why I refuse to say I have anxiety now. Mm-mm. Again, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I am set free. Now I may struggle with it, yeah. But it's already done. It's finished. I'm already set free. And as long as I'm willing to surrender, that everlasting peace will be poured over me. So learn to, again, stop identifying yourself with your sin and start identifying yourself with the things that God has for you and identifying yourself with God and with Jesus, who is alive in you. So you just got to, repentance is so important because a lot of people forget. I said this in my last episode. Repentance doesn't just mean, sorry, Lord. That's it. No, repentance is I'm sorry and I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to do a 180. Not a 360. I'm doing a 180. So I want to end that on, I want to end that on this note. On that note, that start identifying yourself with the things of God and not the things of this world and your sin. That's when life will be a lot more peaceful and a lot more lighter. And there won't be so much baggage and burdens on your back. But anyways, I love you guys so much. I can't believe this is my second episode. Like my last episode was on Monday. This episode will be on Monday, the next Monday. So look at that. I'm entering my consistent podcasting era. Okay, that was so bad. I'm so sorry. I do want to say that the people on Patreon saw this first, for those who are still listening to the very end. So if you'd like to be a member and join the Patreon, you will get early access to all podcast episodes. Let me hear your thoughts. We have a little chat going on there. Today we had like a cute little moment where we all shared our favorite worship songs. I loved it. So if you want to join the Patreon, the link will be in my bio, my Instagram bio. Follow Reforming Our Faith on social media. On Instagram, that's on Instagram. Make sure to follow, subscribe if you're on YouTube, all that stuff. And if you would like to, leave a little rating, go ahead. I want to start reposting my Apple podcast ratings. So yeah, and post your favorite clips of this episode or any other episode so I can repost them, tag me, all that fun stuff. But yeah, that was it. I love you guys, and I will see you guys in the next episode. God bless you. Jesus loves you.